Our reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from verse 8. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. The Lord Jesus Christ, our gracious, our ever-blessed Saviour, promised his people that he would never leave them nor forsake them. And whether as a congregation or whether as individuals, we should lay hold upon that promise every day. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And if you are one of his, then he is with you always. And such promises are precious to the Lord's people. They are precious to those who experience trials, who know hardship, who feel pain, and who endure sorrow. And I encourage you, if you're challenged this morning, if you are weary today, if you are hurting in your heart, as that Shunammite woman was hurting, then remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be with you every day, every hour, and every moment. If you are anxious and tired and weary and sad, take the Lord Jesus Christ at his word. Take your burden to him. You can do no better. And there is a beautiful verse in this passage that we have just read that I want to draw to your attention at this moment. And you'll find it in verse 12. Verse 12 of the passage that we read together. It says this: the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. It's sad. I speak for myself. It's sad when we read the scriptures and we pass over these precious truths, these golden nuggets, these diamonds, and we give them not a second thought. And yet every word of this book is precious and valuable and blessed and glorious If we had but just eyes to see all that the Lord is promising to us, whether it's in the examples of the Old Testament with the prophets and the people there, or whether it's in the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, or the testimony granted of Christ in his life here upon earth, these things are all written for our comfort and for our help. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He sees you. He sees you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your heart. He knows the situation that life has brought to your experience. And his ears are open to our prayers. Our Saviour is watching us today. And our Saviour is listening to us today. Now that should make some people fearful, because when we do things that we shouldn't do and we hide ourselves away in the dark place or in the corner, or when we're mixing with people that we think don't really care and it doesn't really matter, the Lord's eyes are over his people. And when we have a need, then we can take those needs to the Lord in prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, the writer tells us, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." That's where Peter got this verse that he has given to us this morning. He read it here in the Old Testament, and he read the enduring testimony of God on behalf of his people, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, wherever his people are, in order to protect them, in order to demonstrate his strength and his glory and his protection over those that he loves. Those of us who are parents or grandparents, we know something about protecting our children and having a desire to do them good. That is a picture of our Lord's dealings with us. And Peter desires this morning to comfort and to encourage us, the Lord's people, and to show us the Lord Jesus Christ in his true nature and in his true testimony towards us. Because nothing passes the Saviour by. He doesn't miss anything. He is good to his people. He calls his people righteous. He calls his people perfect. Not in their own strength, not in their own abilities, but in that perfection that he has bestowed, in that righteousness that he has given. He has made us clean, freely granted by God as a gift, a cleanliness, a holiness, a purity that the Lord delights in. And he embraces us, and he draws us to himself, and he says to us, "It will be well. It will be well." And you can say to one another, say to the people amongst whom you dwell, "It will be well." For the Lord's eyes are upon his people, and his ears hear our prayers. The Lord delights to do us good, to show himself strong on our behalf. Well, that really was just by way of introduction to the passage here, because what I want to do is look and see what the apostle has else for us to think about this morning. And I've got four subheadings that I want to leave with you, I want you to think about, and I want you to note from this passage. And they are, each subheading, clustered around the little phrase that we see in verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." ready to give an answer. That's what Peter is saying to those to whom he's writing and saying to us, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have within you. And just before I start to develop my thoughts this morning, let me just ask a question here. What does it mean to sanctify God? Isn't that the wrong way around? Am I not here in this pulpit telling you repeatedly that the Lord has sanctified us? How do we sanctify God? It's not that we can make him holy. It's not that we can make him pure in any way. How do we sanctify God in our hearts? Well, we declare what he has done. We honour him. And we proclaim that which is characteristic of him. As we learn about him in Scripture, as the prophets and as the apostles, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as the fullness of the revelation of God teaches us about the Lord God, we store up those things which we learn. We hear them. We have an appetite for them. We come together to hear the gospel preached so that we might store up these truths. These blessed revelations that the Holy Scriptures provide for us and the gospel unfolds and reveals to us. We store them up in our hearts. They become part of us. And as we store them up in our hearts, so our vision and our view of God is enlarged. And we sanctify the Lord in our hearts by praising him and glorifying him, proclaiming his holiness and his goodness, declaring his majesty, admiring his perfections. And if we do that in our heart, it'll spill over into our lives. If we do it in our hearts, it will affect our conversation. If we do it in our hearts, it will alter the way that we act. And the accomplishments of our Saviour will inspire us. And it will give us hope and it will give us peace in our day-to-day life. To such a point that we will be able to testify with the Shunammite, it will be well. So here then are the four qualities that Peter is encouraging in our witness, where he says that we are to be ready to give an answer to everyone, to anyone who would ask a reason for the hope that is within us. Ready to give an answer. Here are four qualities, four characteristics that should attach to us in order for us to be able so to do. The first one. At the beginning of verse 8, we need to have agreement in our doctrine. Agreement in our doctrine. The second one, second part of verse 8 through to verse 11, we need to have faithfulness to our calling. Faithfulness to our calling. From verses 12 and 13, confidence in our Saviour. And in verses 14 to 16, composure in our testimony. So let us take these one by one. The first one was verse 8. Let us have agreement in our doctrine. The apostle says to those to whom he writes, be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. The Lord's people have to be united and settled in our faith and belief of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no value in us biting at one another, fighting with one another, disagreeing with one another, being contentious. There is no value in that. Rather, we are to be humble and we are to come under the sound of the gospel, and we are to be united and settled in that gospel as it is revealed to us in Scripture. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are called to believe it, not sit in judgment on it, not weigh it up and test it one part against another, not have our favourite parts and bits that we leave aside and ignore, but we are to take the wholeness of the revelation of God to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the gospel of Christ, and we are to be united in this truth. Converted by the truth, because that truth constrains us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been converted by that truth. We've been convinced by that truth. We have seen it to be the revealed message of God and the means of salvation to sinners. And we are to be committed to that truth. It was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These are the words that fell from God. God spoke these things. God said how it is. God has revealed himself in this way. And we don't get to second guess him. We don't get to pick and mix. We don't get to select the bits that we wanted to leave the other bits behind. This is the Lord's word. This is his gospel. And he calls us to be in agreement with the truths that he has revealed. He has granted us prophets and apostles, the Holy Scriptures and preachers to bring these things to our attention and to our notice. And he calls us to be united in this matter. A preacher must be a faithful man, of course. And the message that the preacher brings must be consistent with the word. But where the Lord has provided such an individual for us, then let us hear that word and believe it. And let us be united in it. And if we struggle with something, then let us be reserved. And let us be quiet. And let us wait until the Lord is pleased to reveal these things to us and to teach us what others perhaps have learned a little bit sooner than us. Each of us is to be settled in our understanding, because this is the word of God to our souls. This is the very truth of God from heaven, the means of salvation to sinners. This is how he gathers his church. This is how he builds up his people. This is how he strengthens us in the faith. I looked it up in preparation for the service. There are 43 times in the New Testament that the Word of God speaks of the faith. The faith. It's an objective body of truth. It is the revealed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is there to be believed. This is the faith. And we are to be united in it. Faith isn't a hodgepodge of take it or leave it ideas. It's a body of truth. It's a revealed message. It's clear. It's unambiguous. And it's true. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13 says, "Watch ye, watch ye." Be careful, be aware, be discerning. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That was a saying that was made many years ago, when two men were taken to the stake. I didn't think about this beforehand. I think it was Cranmer and Ridley. Who it was that spoke the words, I'm not sure. But the testimony was made as they went to be burned at the stake. Quit ye like men. Let us be those who stand fast and stand firm for the truth, for the faith that we have been given. For this is God's word to us. If we would be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks, a reason for the hope that is within us, then let us be united in that gospel that we have been given and believe. That was the first point. And let it be, secondly, that we are faithful in our calling. Because we've been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read the verses again from verse 8. So we read, "Be ye all of one mind." This is where the reference is to following our calling. Having compassion one to another. Having compassion one to another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous in our dealings with one another. Pitiful and courteous. These are good. These are kind attitudes for the people of God to have. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and ye should inherit a blessing. So being faithful to our calling is exhibiting these characteristics. And remind ourselves that the Lord has imbued us with these characteristics. There would have been a time when we would have found it to be very difficult not to give as good as we get. There would have been a time when the natural reaction would be to return evil for evil. To give as good as we get, to do unto others before they do unto us. But the Lord's people are called to love one another and to leave judgment and vengeance to the Lord. He has converted us. He has changed us. He has made us into something that we once were not. And that has made all the difference. The worst that this world can do to us, the worst that any man in this world can do to you, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just to bring your promotion to glory one little bit closer. That's the worst they can do to you, is bring your entrance into the presence of Christ a little bit closer. These graces that we are called to fulfill and to follow are not graces that we manufacture by ourselves, but are qualities that are implanted in our hearts and in our lives by the one who calls us to follow him. And where he implants them, he calls us to exercise them. These graces are in accordance with the nature of our Saviour, and we are called to follow him. Remember Lazarus, when he was dead and in the grave, and the Lord went to the grave where Lazarus was, and he called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus did what he was told. Why? Because he had the power to do it? No. He was dead. But the power was in the word. The power was in the precept. The power was in the command. The power was in the instruction. And as the Lord calls us, so he enables us. The power is in the call. And he calls us to follow him. And we are to be faithful to our calling. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good?" Let us be followers of that which is good. Let us be faithful to our calling. Here's the third point that we have before us this morning. Verses 12 to 13 tell us that we are to have confidence in our Saviour. So we have to be united in this faith, the gospel. We have to be faithful to our calling, and we have to have confidence in our Saviour. Ah, is he not worthy of our confidence? Is he not worth putting our trust in? Have we not found it to be so before? And has he changed, the one who is the same yesterday, today and forever? Those beautiful eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ that see us. Those blessed ears that hear us. I'm reminded of the rich young ruler. Scripture tells us that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He looked on him and he loved him. Mark chapter 5, verse 36, we're told, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith, be not afraid, only believe." So here is the eyes of our Lord looking upon us in love. Here is the ear of our Lord hearing the prayers of his people. And as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, we're told in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ's immediate response to his people was, "Be not afraid, only believe." Let us have confidence in our Saviour. Let us trust him. I love my daughter and my son-in-law and their children. I love my son and my daughter-in-law and their little boy. And there is nothing within my power that I wouldn't do for their good if they called upon me and asked for my help. Why don't we call upon the Lord and ask for his help? He is more powerful than I could ever be or you could ever be. And yet we know that longing to do good for one another. I would be hurt if they thought that I could help and didn't come and ask for my help. And yet we shun the Lord Jesus Christ so very often when we demonstrate that we have a lack of confidence in him and in his help. I want them to have confidence in me, that my affection and my love for them is true, and I'm called to have confidence in my Saviour, that his affection for me is true and is powerful. Our Lord will have us go to him. Go with confidence. He gave his blood for our sins, his life for our salvation, and for our everlasting happiness. What will he withhold from his people? Let us be confident in our Saviour as we are called to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And finally and fourthly, we are called to have composure in our testimony. What I mean by that, What I mean is this. Let us be calm and let us be at peace when we give that reason for the hope that is within us. If there is one characteristic of the people of God, it should be that they are a people of hope. We have a blessed hope. We have a lively hope. The scripture says we have a better hope than the men and women of this world. We have the hope of salvation. Hope through grace. Hope of eternal life. These are all apostolic phrases telling us of that hope that we possess. We have hope set before us. We have hope to the end. We have hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are the people of hope. So we should have composure in our testimony. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's us. We have Christ. And if we have Christ, if we have his doctrine, if we are faithful to his calling, if we have these blessed truths revealed to us, by which we can have confidence in our Saviour, then why is there any doubt about composure in our testimony? We have a message for this world, and we are to be at peace delivering it. So if a man asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the one who is in you, the hope of glory. And you don't tell it proudly or pompously. You tell it with meekness and with fear. But you tell it with confidence in the veracity of the truth that it is, and with the knowledge that it comes with power, the very power of Jesus Christ. Tell it reverently. So much goes on in the name of Christianity these days that is just like a comedy. We have a message to give that is the message of life to sinners. Declare it reverently. Declare it sincerely. Recently I saw a phrase which grabbed my attention, and I don't know the origin of this. I tried to find out, and the only thing that I could find out was that it was the name of a group or something. But here is the phrase, and I thought it was just lovely. If it has some other origin that you know about, then please put me right. Here it is. Speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. Isn't that lovely? Speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. If the world can aspire to such a motto, then why not the people of God? How much more should the Church of Jesus Christ be bold in these truths which have been delivered to us? Romans 5 verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Brothers and sisters, we have a gospel of which we are not ashamed, a hope in Christ, a calling and an honour and a privilege to follow. We have Christ. We have everything. Let us, therefore, sanctify the Lord in our hearts. and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Amen.